Thank you, Todd. Good morning to each of you. Hope you're doing well today. I want to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to begin in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Truly, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? I trust that we will spend the much time this next week reflecting on what we have to be thankful for. Hopefully we do that all during the year, but as our nation to some degree pauses this Thursday to think of being thankful, it's a blessing to know to whom we are to be thankful. The one who is the source of all of the blessings that we have. And one of those blessings that I am very appreciative of is the blessing of prayer. I hope that you're very thankful for the privilege of prayer. You know, many people speak of prayer around the world today. Many of them are appreciative of prayer, but, you know, many of them are not praying to the God of the Bible. And that's sad. We're going to read, as we just start this morning, I'm going to read some very familiar verses in Philippians chapter 4. And they speak about prayer and they mention thanksgiving. Verses 6 and 7 of Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In everything, every area of life, every issue that you face, every relationship problem, every financial struggle, every medical concern, every uncertainty, we're to bring those things to God with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We're to bring those things to Him to make them known, as it were, to the one who already knows everything. It's not that God needs to learn about what's in your mind and what's on your heart and what's going on in your life. God already knows all about that. He knows everything that you're dealing with, and He knows everything you're going to deal with, and yet He says, I want you to come to Me in prayer. I want you to confess to Me that you're dependent on Me, that you can't do it on your own, that you know that you need Me to be working. As we think of being thankful for this wonderful privilege of approaching the God of the universe, the one who knows everything and the one who can do all things and the one who loves with an eternal love. As we think of that great privilege and our thankfulness for that, it's somewhat surprising maybe when we pause to realize that the area of prayer is an area where Satan would seek to attack the believer. Again, we've been looking at a number of different areas where you have anonymously shared that Satan is attacking you. And several of you turned in those cards and had things relating to this topic of prayer and how the number one attack of Satan against you and your life is in this very area of prayer. And I think as we listen to these three cards that I'm going to read to you, I think you'll see a commonality there that to some degree, maybe many, if not all of us, can relate to. One wrote this on their card, Lord, do you hear me? Have you ever thought that? Maybe you didn't write it on a card. Has it ever come through your mind? I've heard a number of people say that. Lord, do you hear me? Satan's attack there is obviously the Lord does not hear you. Another wrote, you haven't spent time with the Lord this week, so why should He listen to you now? Satan never used that against you or something similar. And here's another one. They wrote this, with regard to answer to prayer, God can and is able, but why should He? He can remove the temptation, but you have free will to make the choice also. As we think about these three cards, we see the thread there. Hear. Listen. answer. The first one wrote, "Lord, do you hear me?" The second one wrote, "Why should he listen to me?" And the third wrote, "With regard to answer to prayer." Satan is attacking the believer, and he wants to come in the quietness and stillness of our darkest hours, and he wants to tell us, God does not hear you. God is not listening to you. God will not answer you. You do not deserve for him to hear you, to listen to you, or answer you. I think when we express ourselves in this way, "Lord, do you hear me?" that what we're really saying is, "Lord, you're not answering my prayer in the way that I desire or in the time that I expect. And when I pray and I ask for something specific, Lord, I expect you to work in response to that prayer. And I don't see that happening." Psalm 102, the psalmist, when he's afflicted and overwhelmed, he pours out his complaint before the Lord. And listen to what he says many years ago. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. Hurry up, Lord. I'm wondering if you're listening because I prayed and I don't see the answer." In John 11:42, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in human form, said this to his Father in prayer, "And I know that you always hear me." You know, Satan is subtle. As we began this study that we've been looking at these different attacks of Satan, it sprung out of our study of the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. And there we read, as we're introduced to that armor that the believer in the Lord Jesus can put on and can use against Satan, here's the introduction, the challenge from Paul by the Holy Spirit: "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," the trickery of the devil. He is so subtle as he comes against us and seeks to attack us. I would like for us this morning to think about what were the questions asked on these cards or the attacks reported on these cards. And I'd like to draw them together in this idea of when it seems God does not hear my prayer. When it seems God does not hear my prayer. And we'd like to think about three times, three sometimes, I'll call them. Three sometimes. First of all, when it seems God does not hear my prayer, sometimes I am the problem. When it seems like I pray and I don't get the answer I'm looking for, I'm expecting, sometimes the problem is me. You know, the scriptures reveal that there are things that I do or don't do that can hinder my prayers being answered. I may be the problem. Have you ever been in a situation, maybe a friendship, a relationship, even a marriage, and you're struggling with that? Maybe it's on a job, maybe it's with a team, and you're struggling with a relationship within that context, and then one day the revelation comes to you, "You know what, I'm the problem here. I thought it was the other person. I thought it was them, and really it was within me, and I didn't even see it." I would like for us to consider some of these things that the Scripture shows us where we can be the problem, and it could be that the prayer is not being answered because of us. Now, before I go into this, and while I'm going through these things, and when I finish, I want to make sure you understand that I'm not laying out a checklist, okay? I'm not saying before you go pray, you got to get your checklist out and punch and go through and make sure you can check them all off. Okay, now I can pray. That's not what I'm looking at. That's not what I'm insinuating. I don't think that's the teaching of Scripture, that a person has to be perfect before they can expect a prayer to be answered, or only the Lord Jesus would ever have a prayer answered. But yet, the general tenor of my life, the general attitude of the way that I'm living, should match up with what God is saying in these Scriptures. So let's consider this together, if we could. When it seems God does not hear my prayer, sometimes I am the problem. Now, the first one here is if I am unrighteous before God. And we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm going to give you a lot of references. I'm not going to ask you to turn for sake of time, but you're welcome to. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, we read this quote from the Psalms that Peter uses. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers." It's the righteous. The writer to the Proverbs in Proverbs 15 and verse 8 says it this way, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." Later in that same chapter in Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 29, here is the emphasis: "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." You see, those who are right before God, those who are righteous in the sight of God, have the confidence that God is listening to our prayers. James wrote of that in James 5 and verse 16, and he said, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Even the religious leaders in the day of the Lord Jesus made that recognition, for they said, wrongfully speaking of the Lord Jesus, but they said, "We know that God does not hear sinners." You know, there are people around the world today who are praying, and some of them pray harder than you pray. Many of them pray harder than I pray. But their prayers are not being answered. Their prayers are not being heard because they are unrighteous before God. The Bible tells us that there's only one way to be righteous before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that God has made Him, the Lord Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, who said, "I know that you always hear me," He's perfectly righteous. He never sinned in His thoughts. He never sinned in His deeds. He never sinned in His words. He never sinned in His attitudes. He never sinned in His motives. The perfect one, the holy one, who knew no sin, who did no sin, who could not sin, went to the cross of Calvary and was made sin for you. Made sin for you and made sin for me and made sin for the world and bore our sin in His own body on the tree and rose again that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, that we might be righteous before God, that we might have the right and the privilege to enter into the throne room of God and open up our hearts in prayer. If you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you've never believed on Him and been forgiven, then the prayer that God desires to hear from you is, "I am a sinner and I deserve to be punished for my sin, but I believe that Jesus Christ the Lord died for my sins and shed His blood and rose again, and I trust Him as my Savior." Not those exact words necessarily, but coming from your heart. But you know, if someone prays and they're not right before God, they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, God is not going to hear the prayer. That's their problem. But you know what? Many times, even as believers in the Lord Jesus, ones who are righteous before God, sometimes we're still the problem. Sometimes I am the problem if I am disobedient to the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, John could write confidently And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Again, no one will perfectly keep every commandment of God all of the time. That's not God's fault, that's our fault, but that's a reality of life. But is the general tenor of your life, is the desire of your heart to obey God's commandments, to honor Him, not in order to be right before Him, because you've already realized that there is none righteous, no, not one, and we can only come to God through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And yet, are you desiring in your heart to be obedient to the Word of God? Proverbs 28:9 says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." It's disgusting to God. The prayer of the one who would turn away, who would say, "God, I want you to hear me, but I don't want to hear you." And that's exactly our attitude when we turn away from hearing the Word of God. Listen to the words of God in Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 through 13, concerning the people of God. "But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Then it happened that just as He proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts." Sometimes I'm the problem if I'm being disobedient to the Word of God or if I'm not willing to repent of sin. Psalm 66:18 tells us very clearly, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." If I'm holding on to sin, if I'm seeking to live according to the Word of God, but there's this area over here and I'm trying to hold on to it and I know that it's not in line with the Word of God and the heart of God, but I'm not willing to let go of that. I'm regarding iniquity in my heart. I need to be willing to confess that to God as sin, and I need to be willing by the power of the Holy Spirit to turn from that sin. And if I'm not willing to do that, the Lord will not hear. Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." God delights to hear our prayers. God rejoices to answer our prayers, but sometimes we're the problem. If we're asking with selfish motives, James chapter 4 and verse 3, James says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." What is the purpose in my prayer? What is my attitude? What is my goal? What is my motivation? It shouldn't be selfishness. That ties in with the next thing that I may be. And a lot of these overlap. Sometimes I am the problem if I am not asking according to God's will. Again, John writes in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Here he writes again boldly. "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him," that in God, "that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of Him." Am I asking according to the will of God? There's a story told of a man named Ivan who endured the horrors of a Soviet prison camp years ago. One day he was praying with his eyes closed, and a fellow prisoner noticed him praying and ridiculed him and said, "Prayers won't help you to get out of here any faster." And Ivan opened his eyes and looked at the man and answered, "I do not pray to get out of prison, but to do the will of God." Praying according to the will of God. This is the will of God. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, "Your sanctification..." In other words, God's will for me and for you as believers in the Lord Jesus, if you're saved, God's will for us is holiness, not necessarily happiness. We often pray thinking that God wants to make us happy and God wants us to be joyful in the Lord Jesus. God wants us to be joyful Christians. But God's will is, first of all, that we be holy. And as we seek to be holy, even if we find ourselves like Ivan in a concentration camp suffering, there can be a true joy there. Because we are set apart to God. And we are saying no to the things of this world and of the flesh. Sometimes I am the problem if I'm not praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. In John 14, verses 13 and 14, the Lord Jesus says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wow. I got to pause for a moment. Anything? Anything, Lord? Of course, we've got to look at all of Scripture together, right? We've already looked at some other things that have to be right if we expect God to answer. But we've got to ask them in His name. Now, that doesn't just mean praying in Jesus' name, amen, at the end of my prayers, and therefore I get whatever I ask for. No, rather that I pray in His name, on His authority, with something about which He would agree. Imagine having a checkbook or finding a checkbook. And you see the person's name at the top. And you say, "Well, let me write a check." And you sign his name. But let's say you go to one of these fancy banks, which they're getting to probably, where they can check that check. They can examine that check. And they can examine the handwriting. They say, "No, that's not the correct handwriting." You see, that person wouldn't write a check for this or for that. Would the Lord Jesus desire what we're asking for? Are we praying in His name? And sometimes I'm the problem if I'm not abiding in Christ, the Lord Jesus. In John 15 and verse 7 said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Am I seeking to rest in the Lord Jesus? Am I seeking to commit my heart to Him daily? Am I seeking to yield my life to His will? Am I seeking to be in His Word and to allow Him to live His life through me? Am I abiding in the Lord Jesus? Sometimes I am the problem if I'm not asking in faith. Matthew 21, 22. Words of the Lord Jesus, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And there are other verses for the ones that, these different ones that I'm not mentioning, other verses. Am I believing as I pray? But again, does that mean that I can ask anything I want and believe that I'm going to get it and I'll get it? There are people who teach that. That's not the teaching of the Scripture. Again, we look at these things together. We ask according to the will of God. "Lord, if this is your will, I believe that you will do it. And I trust you to do what is best." Here's one for the guys, for the husbands actually. Ladies, single men, take a little break here if you want to. Sometimes I am the problem if I'm failing to rightly value my wife. 1 Peter 3, 7, "Husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." How am I treating my wife? That can impact the answer to prayer. And finally, sometimes I am the problem if I am insensitive to those in need. In Isaiah chapter 58, verses 6 through 9, As God speaks to the nation of Israel concerning those who are oppressed and those who are hungry and those who are poor and those who were naked, He said, if you will minister to them, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and He will say, here I am. What is my heart toward others? Here are some of the reasons that the Scripture gives us that we may be the problem, that our prayers may not be being answered. Now, Satan wants to come to you, and he surely wants to come to every believer and say, you don't meet that list, buddy. You might as well forget praying because you will never meet up with that. And I would have to be in agreement with him. I will never meet that perfectly. But we find that we are approaching, Hebrews 4:16, we are coming boldly to the throne of grace. Grace. In other words, we don't deserve the answers we get to prayer. We're not going demanding from God because we have earned something and He must give it to us, because we had our quiet time this morning, because we sought to be obedient to Him, because we treated our wives right, and therefore we go and we demand of God. No, we come before God and we recognize it's a throne of grace, and we're there to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need, not because we deserve it. Satan wants us to be discouraged and to give up. But this is not a checklist over which to obsess, but rather something to guide us and guard us to make sure that we're not asking in the wrong way, that we're not going our own way thinking that our prayers should be answered in spite of the fact that our attitudes are not right. God wants us to deal with the problem. If I am the problem, then God wants me to deal with the problem. If I'm not doing something or doing something I shouldn't or not doing something I should, God is telling me, Mark, I want you to follow 1 John 1:9. I want you to confess your sins, and if you will, I am faithful and I am just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's not God's desire that we not pray. It's not God's desire to think that He won't listen to us or that He won't hear us. That's Satan's lie. God's desire is, be honest about yourself. And if you're the problem, then deal with the problem. Psalm 69, verses 13 to 17. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O Lord, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut up its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies, and do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. The psalmist cries out, claiming the loving kindness of the Lord. The multitude of God's tender mercies, that's the Father to whom you come in prayer. And He delights to answer your prayer and to pour out the blessing upon you. But He also desires that our attitude be what He would have it to be. And He shares these scriptures not to discourage us from praying, but to cause us to be that much more dependent upon Him. Sometimes I am the problem. But when God does not hear my prayer, sometimes I am the student. I'm the student. Sometimes we pray and we don't get the answer we're looking for, or it doesn't come in the time that we're expecting it. And what has actually happened is not that God is not hearing, but that God is teaching. The one who knows everything, the one who is sovereign over the universe, the one who is eternal, enables us to read and believe and find comfort in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things including unanswered prayers as we see them being unanswered. Work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, not unanswered at all, but actually being used by the teacher, the divine teacher, to teach us as students. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And He wants to teach us. And He may be teaching you. He may be teaching me by the way that He is not immediately or ever answering my prayer the way that I want it to be answered. Let me give you some examples that the teacher uses. The nation of Israel, Psalm 106 and verses 14 and 15. Here's what the Lord says about Israel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert, and He gave them their request. Some of you know the rest of that verse, but sent leanness into their soul. God said, "I'm going to answer your prayer. But there's going to be some negative things that go along with that." And God teaches us that sometimes as He withholds the answer to our prayer in the way that we want it to be answered, He is actually protecting us. How much better would Israel have been if they had never prayed that prayer? But God said, "I'm going to teach those people meeting at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel in the year 2011, I'm going to use Israel and their request and how I work there. I'm going to use that to teach them." And what about Moses? Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verses 23 to 27, he shares with the people of Israel about his prayer. "Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, 'O Lord God, You have begun to show Your servant Your greatness and Your mighty hand, for what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like Your works and Your mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, 'Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan.'" And we studied earlier, as we looked at the nation of Israel going from Egypt to Canaan, we saw how Moses, in anger at the people, struck the rock twice when the Lord told him to speak to the rock and water would come out. And now as a result of that, his prayer is not being answered like he wants it to be answered. He wanted to go into the land, but the Lord said, "No, I'm going to let you see it in my grace, but you're not going to go in." And sometimes the Lord says, "I want you to learn to accept the consequences of your actions." And there are some things that's not necessarily a punishment, but a father disciplining a child. And he has a purpose in it, and he does it in love, and he does it in grace. And we'll read about that in Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes I'm the student. We think about the prophets in the Old Testament. I've been reading through the prophets recently, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel specifically right now. And how Jeremiah particularly, his heart was breaking. And how all of these men were speaking to God on behalf of the people as well as speaking to the people on behalf of God. Do you know what? The choices that Israel made were their own choices. And sometimes we pray, but other people are making choices that impact the situation we're praying about. Sometimes we're praying for a particular person and for God to work in their lives, and God may be working in their lives, but they still have that option of making choices. And that may affect, and God wants us to learn that, to understand that. We even have the example of the Lord Jesus Himself. Yes, He's an example. Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8 tell us about the Lord Jesus in the days of His flesh when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And in Luke 22, verses 39 to 44, we see the Lord Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we hear Him praying, "Father, if it is Your will, take this cup away from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Yours be done." What an example of the Lord Jesus praying that prayer, "If there be any other way." And yet, "Lord, Your will." Are we praying like that? Are we learning as we don't see the answer that we're looking for? Are our hearts taught in that experience to say, "Lord, this is what I desire. I believe that it would be something that would please You. But Lord, whatever You want, whatever You desire, whatever You purpose, let that be done." Can we pray that way? What about Paul? Sometimes we're the student and we look at the life of Paul. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, Paul tells us about a circumstance in his life where he prayed. He didn't get the answer he wanted. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations." Paul had seen great things from God, and there was that tendency within that to be proud. And so, to keep that from happening, "a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." And I don't think, it could have been just 3 prayers, but very likely it was 3 periods of prayer where Paul set apart time to bring before God this thorn in the flesh, whatever that was a messenger of Satan that was buffeting him. And he was praying, "Lord, take it away." But verse 9 says, "And he," the Lord, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" And sometimes what we see as an unanswered prayer is actually God teaching us in the school of prayer that His purpose may be different than ours. And that no matter what experience we suffer through and we don't see the answer coming like we want it, God's saying, "My grace is all you need. Lean on Me, trust Me, I promise that My goodness, My undeserved loving kindness poured out on you in your life, I promise that it's going to be enough to get you through this." Sometimes I'm the student. And when it seems God does not hear my prayer, sometimes I'm the answer. Sometimes I'm the answer. I thought about that card that was written about God being able to remove the temptation, but you know, sometimes God chooses to leave the temptation there. God purposefully does that. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're told that no temptation will overtake us except what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you were able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And God will not do what He purposes and enables me to do. And sometimes I'm facing temptation and I say, "Lord, take this temptation away from me." And the Lord's answer may be, "You get away from the temptation. Or you trust Me if you can't get away or you shouldn't get away. Then you trust Me to enable you to go through that temptation and to bear that temptation. I will enable you to escape giving in to that temptation." We think of Lazarus. John chapter 11, we have that story recorded for us when the Lord Jesus came and He had come late purposefully, and Lazarus had died. And his sisters Mary and Martha were grieving, and we read that they took the Lord Jesus there to that graveside, to that tomb where he had been buried. And Jesus, groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And of course, they moved the stone. As the stone was moved, the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And we know that Lazarus was raised from the dead. He came out of the tomb, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. And then Jesus said to those standing by, "Loose him and let him go." The Lord Jesus said, "You move the stone." The Lord Jesus said, "You take off the grave clothes." The Lord Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." He did what they couldn't do. But he didn't do what they could do. And sometimes we're asking something, we're asking for something to be done, when in reality there is something God would have us to do. Sometimes when it seems God is not answering, I am the answer. I think about the illustrations of Moses and Joshua. Moses was there at the Red Sea, and the sea blocked the way this way, and the Egyptian army was behind the people of Israel, and the people were complaining, "You brought us out here to die, Moses, and we're going to be killed." And Moses was crying to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch your hand over the sea and divide it." The Lord said, "Moses, you prayed, now get up and act." He told Joshua the same thing in Joshua chapter 7. "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Get up and deal with the issue." So we pray, but then God also desires us, wills us to do what He would have us to do. When it seems God does not answer my prayer, sometimes I'm the hindrance. Sometimes I'm the problem. Is there someone, I ask you just to close your eyes, bow your head as we close up here as I conclude. I've covered very, very many scriptures this morning. I trust that the Spirit of God will take the ones that He wants to use in your heart. You know, sometimes I'm the problem. I just ask you to reflect for a moment. Is there something in your life that would be hindering the answer to prayer? It's an opportunity for you to confess that and also to forsake it, to turn away from what you know is not of God. Sometimes when it seems God does not hear our prayers, it's because He has us in the place of the student. Reflect for a moment. Is there something God is teaching you? Something God is wanting to show you and to train you in, because He loves you. Because He knows what else lies ahead of you in your life, and He knows how He can use you to glorify Him as you yield to His teaching. Is He trying to teach you something in a situation when you feel like He's not hearing you? And reflect for a moment, could it be that you're the answer? That God has heard your prayer, and now He wants you to act in accordance with His will and to step out in faith, and not in your own strength, but in the strength He provides, go forward and be obedient to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that those of us who know You through faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation, who died for us and rose again, Father, we approach You as our Heavenly Father, one who loves us, and Father, the perfect one, the one who cannot be turned away when He seeks to come. Father, the one who is able to do whatever His will is and will do what He has purposed. Father, we come before You and we thank You for the avenue of prayer. We thank You for the privilege of approaching You and unburdening our hearts, casting our care upon You, confident that You care for us. Father, sometimes we confess, we wonder, are You hearing our prayer? Lord, You have reminded us this morning of some problems that can be in our lives that can hinder those prayers being answered. Father, if that's true, may You reveal those things to us. May we turn from them. Father, may we recognize Your grace and be thankful that when You do answer prayer, it's not because we earned it or deserve it, but rather it's because we've come to the throne of grace and we've obtained mercy and found grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we pray that as students in the school of prayer, we would learn what You would want to teach us. That we would accept what seems to be unanswered prayer to us, and we would rejoice that You are seeking to teach us a lesson that we might be more like the Lord Jesus, who prayed, "Not my will, but Your will be done." And Father, that we might be the answer when that's appropriate, that we might step out in faith, that we might be obedient to Your word, that we might go and do those things that You would have us to do when we have prayed and committed it all to You. Father, help us. You know every heart, every life here this morning. I pray Your hand upon each one in this room today. Father, we've covered so much. Father, this is a very challenging subject. Father, please make it clear to every one of us, and please do Your work in our lives for Your glory. In the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.